Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 50. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
And I'd like to apologize for all the echo from last week's episode. I was working on it and got as much out as I could, and it ended up becoming an issue of putting it out as it was at that point on Tuesday or not getting it out until, like, Saturday. So I just ended up making the decision to get it out. And
we actually recorded that episode in the Cave of the Winds. People should know this. There's a great deal of echo in the Cave of the Winds. It's a Colorado attraction. See Cave of the Winds whenever you're in Colorado area.
Yeah.
Just don't do any recording there.
No, it's a bad idea. Bad idea. So, what would we watch this week?
Well, you saw nine.
I watched nine movies, but I'm only going to talk about three.
Sir. No, you got to talk about them all.
Actually, I watched 10. I just thought of another one, but I stopped watching it because I thought it was terrible. Sunday, I went and saw Igor.
Okay.
It was really disturbing for a kid's film.
Really?
You've got this character that's a rabbit that can't die, so the whole movie he's trying to commit suicide. There's a scene where he shoots himself in the face, and the camera's in back of him, and you see a hole in his head, and then his brain slowly morph back, and his skull form back. I was like, this is a kid's film?
Okay, so let me stop you right there. The vicar has been over at GRD has been thinking about taking his daughters to see this. It's like, they're really young. Is this too much for them? I'm hearing yes.
I would say yes.
Okay.
Besides that, like, it felt like leftovers of a Tim Burton movie. The main character's name is Eva.
Okay.
Did they see Wally? I don't know. It was okay. I'd say if you're a Cusack fan, it's not terrible.
It's at least a rental.
It's at least a rental. Yeah. Because okay. I didn't like want to gouge my eyes out. It was some of it was pretty cute. Finally got around to seeing Pathology, which I bought blind.
Do you regret it?
I'm not sure. I don't know. The acting is terrible, and none of the characters are likable. But it's like honestly one of the most disturbing films I've ever seen. So I guess if you're a horror fan, the special effects are really good. The use of dead bodies, they actually use real cadavers in it, so that's pretty interesting. Then I saw Leatherheads with George Clooney.
How is it?
I loved it. I don't know why there's so much bad talk on it. The acting's great. It's like a classic Hollywood film. You've got like Laurel and Hardy bits in it, and it's just, I love it. So I definitely say check that out.
Okay. Did you buy that one?
No, I didn't. I wish... Would have liked to swap that. and Krasinski's great in it, too. So, and he actually plays like a bad guy in it, and yet you still have sympathy for him. So,
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yep.
What else did you see?
Let's just
go through the whole list.
Okay. I'm not going to review them, though, or anything. Night of the Hunter, Song of the South, Singing in the Rain, La Habanera, Prom Night, Michael Clayton, and... Pet Cemetery were all the other ones I watched.
So Prom Night's the one that you didn't finish.
Yeah, Prom Night's the one I shut it off.
Was it the remake or the original?
The remake one.
Okay. It was just that
I'm
bad.
Sorry, Barry. I couldn't do
it. Did you see the original?
Oh, really?
I
couldn't sit through the first
10
minutes of that. I don't know. So
that's one of the better parts of the movie, so you probably good that you left early.
Okay. That's it.
All right, that's it. Okay. I guess I'll go next. Josh let me borrow two movies, and I watched them both. First one up on the list, I'll start with the good, was Candyman. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tony Todd was amazing in it. I didn't really find it all that scary, quote unquote. It's more fascinating than anything else. It was gory as all get out.
Yeah.
But it was really good. I loved how it ended. I'm not going to spoil it, but I loved that. And then I saw Hot Rod, and I'm not going to completely smack down on it because... Here's the thing. This generation, you know, right along with Napoleon Dynamite, which I don't like either, but I can also appreciate it as this generation's Bill and Ted, Wayne's World, Strange Brew type stupid movie that just, you know, it clicks with the generation.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Did he just effing do Too Legit to Quit? That's really all I can say. Although when it became Do the Right Thing, I did kind of enjoy that. And Danny McBride was freaking hilarious. I think I like him better in this than anything else. He was like the high point of that movie for me.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And I know Barry's watching it next, so.
Yeah, I'll let you know. It's really becoming something of a cult film. You know, it was in theaters for about 5 minutes, but everyone I know who's seen it has just been over the moon about it. So, about to drink the Kool-Aid and join the cult myself, I guess.
There you go. I haven't done much watching this week, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Barry?
Just four. The new ones I saw, I finally saw Wong Kar-wai's My Blueberry Nights. Very disappointing, I thought.
Really?
The atmosphere and Natalie Portman's performance have stayed with me. The movie just hasn't. It's his most fast-paced movie, oddly enough, but it's also, I think, his dreariest. It really didn't stay with me at all. Nora Jones and Jude Law felt really miscast.
Okay.
Rachel Weisz, not her best performance. And Natalie Portman is really great, but she's not until the final part of the movie. She's like the last vignette. And
Rent it.
Beautiful film to look at, but to watch, it's something of an ordeal. Charlie Bartlett. I finally got to see Charlie Bartlett. What a strange film.
Yeah.
I love the characters and I love the performances, but I didn't believe a second of it. Yeah. It was so over the top. You know, it's like Ferris Bueller found that balance between being a total BS fantasy and being like a great, gritty high school movie, if you can even call it that. But this, it just, I had a hard time believing any of it. It was so over the top and so overdone.
Didn't you not like Robert Downey Jr.'s character in it either, or did you?
I liked it, but towards the end, it was like, really? You know, that was such a strange choice. It made me uncomfortable, all the ways it was kind of mirroring his own life.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fun to watch him take a shot anymore and, you know, get drunk and stoned and crazy. I don't find it funny anymore. I really don't.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of odd, the directions the story went. It reminded me a little bit of Pump Up the Volume as well. But again, another movie that I'd say that was so much better. But too bad, because I thought the performances were very likable. And I thought it had some funny stuff in it. But yeah, kind of a strange film.
Yeah.
And then I went back and saw Silence of the Lambs for the first time in years and years. Really impressed by Silence of the Lambs. The first time I saw it, I was very underwhelmed by it because I'd read the book, which was so thrilling and so terrifying. The movie is so low-key in the way it's made that initially I thought, you know, this is kind of a little too light compared to what I was expecting, especially the music is very lightweight, and Jonathan Demme's direction is very restrained. Like, the editing and the cinematography of that movie are really in full force, but the movie's kind of laid back. And looking at it now, I realize that it's a good thing, because the material is so gruesome and disgusting that had it been, you know, more overt, more in your face, more over the top, it would have been like Hannibal. So it's like, I look at it now, like, I really like the restraint that Jonathan Demme actually showed in that movie. I'm like Ridley Scott, who's like, let's go for a close-up. And then I looked at Waterworld for the first time. First time since I've seen it in years. I enjoy it.
I do too. I think
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You know, the dialogue is ridiculous. And the movie is so monumentally silly, but the action sequences are incredible. And it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like movies that have like action water scenes. I don't know. That's just like.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't think of anything offhand that has like better jet ski boat exploding scenes. I mean, it's really something else.
Yeah.
Interesting. When you mentioned Silence of the Lambs, I think of part where Ralph Fiennes is running around naked and tucked.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You mean Vincent. Who's the.
Was it Vincent?
It's Ted Levine in the first one.
Okay.
Ted Levine is Buffalo Bill.
Okay. Yeah. My bad.
Sorry.
But when I see Clerks 2 and CJ do the same thing, that's what I think of. So.
Sure. Same music, too.
Yeah, kind of disturbing.
Goodbye, horses.
That's why. Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of sad that band will always be known for that. It's so sad. Those poor guys. Like, those freaking naked man movies.
Tucking. All right, yeah. All right, let's talk about what hit theaters this past weekend.
Oh, wait. Heroes premiere. Do you want to talk about that now?
Dude, yeah. We can talk that. Yes. Heroes came out. Did you watch like the quote-unquote pregame?
No, I didn't. I couldn't do that.
I was watching Dancing with the Stars instead.
Oh, yeah. I fast-forward through it.
Oh, you TiVo'd it?
Yeah, I was like, I just want to see what Hayden's wearing.
And you're cringing as you say that. That's the funny part.
Sorry.
Excuse me. So I posted on the Twitter page, I'm giving this an hour. If it doesn't suck me in, I'm writing off the series altogether. That freaking interaction between Siler and Claire.
The first like 5 minutes, too.
I groaned audibly when I figured out who shot the person in question, in case people haven't caught up on the show yet. I was like, really? That's who it is? Okay. But that was just me.
The twists and turns that they're making, I'm not really going for, but it's still engaging.
Especially
enough.
Especially the Darth Vader moment.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying the interaction of characters that I haven't interacted yet. So
I guess. I'm really still annoyed by Maya. The wonderless Mexican twin.
Well, and like what they did with Park's character.
Parkman.
Like,
I like that someone gets powers. And initially I was thinking, wow, if he grows organic web shooters, I'm going to throw my television. And then many people pointed out, it's actually the Fly. So,
yeah. So I don't know. I'm going to stick with it. But
I'm kind of hopeful. The best thing was when in the future when the one guy did the fireball.
Oh, yeah.
Or I should... All the Street Fighter 2 fans, the Hadouken.
Hey, I can't believe how violent it was. There's a decapitation there was somebody got their there's a brain eating thing. There was
like we're talking almost Hannibal levels.
The head is prime time television.
Yeah, the head, the top of the skull is cut off, and this person is carrying on a conversation with Siler because
and her scalp is on the floor. Like you can see,
it's like Hannibal crap.
There's like exit wounds. Somebody gets shot. There's exit wounds. It's I'm like, am I watching like, Saw?
This isn't rated M, really?
Yeah,
MA, really? Okay. Gee. Wow. Yeah, but I that one scene really grabbed me, and the rest of it's kind of like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I don't know. We'll see.
They need to start killing off characters.
They do. They do. They really do. So, and then finally, I went and saw Bernadette Peters live two nights ago, Friday night, up in Denver, performing with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. Blech. And it was amazing. There's no way that woman's 60 years old. I just refuse to believe
she's
that.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah, she looks like when I saw her on The Muppet Show, 30 years ago. She was great. We had third row seats. It was so very entertaining. But I wanted to say, the reason I bring this up, not because I saw Bernadette Peters, because high-fi audience is going, who? Steve Martin's girlfriend in The Jerk. There you go. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And Clint Eastwood's girlfriend in Pink Cadillac.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Now the circle is complete.
There we go. Wow. The reason I brought it up was because they're going to be showing City of Lights in November, the Charlie Chaplin silent film. But the symphony orchestra is going to be doing the entire soundtrack to go along with it as an accompaniment. And I was like, this is kind of cool, but I can't see spending that kind of money. Then I heard them play. And there's something about hearing an orchestra play something live that just you can't replace it. The closest thing I've heard is the DTS track on Fantasia 2000, which is pretty darn close, but it's still not quite the same. And they're doing like The Wizard of Oz with orchestral accompaniment, and they're doing Star Trek Night, and they're actually doing Final Fantasy in a couple weeks. And I'm just wanting to say, if you have an orchestra around you, you may see if they're doing like these geeky movie pops nights. Because they're a great concept. We're probably going to go see Wizard of Oz, and I really want to go see City Lights.
Well, yeah, City Lights is one of Chaplin's most beautiful films. That's that'd be a real privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Pretty cool.
So, okay, now we can talk about what hit theaters this week. Okay.
You don't want to talk about The Office, do you? Or?
Oh, yeah, if you want to.
Because you didn't like the premiere as much as I did.
No, and I think I'm the only one. So I just was disappointed. Journey. I wasn't laughing as much as I wanted to be.
The surprise proposal, which I thought was fantastic.
Oh no, that like there are elements of the show that I love. Like that was one of them.
You just hate BJ Novak as Ryan.
Yeah,
so
I think
much.
that was the part.
He's like driven. He's so power hungry.
I'm still in the second season. So.
Okay. Yeah, I mean he went from being the intern to kind of having like a Scarface rise to fame and fall. Yeah.
So I just hate him. I hate him. So I think maybe that was it. Like the fact that they reintroduced him, I was just like, damn it.
You know, like the whole thing about the weight loss and
how I felt bad. I feel bad for Kelly, and I mean when she like passed out and stuff. And
she's such an idiot, though.
I know.
And yeah, I love Amy Ryan as Michael Scott's potential love interest. Like she is such a dork, just like he is. Like they're perfect for each other.
She's great. Yeah. And I wish there would have been more Jan. I wanted to see more interaction with...
Yeah, Melora Waters is so cool. I can't wait to see what she does with that next season. All right. This theater. This week in theaters, rather. The number one movie in America. One of the biggest openings in September, apparently. Pink Eye. Sorry. Eagle Eye. Sorry. Freudian slip. Shia LaBeouf. And Michelle Monaghan have Pink Eye. Spike Lee's new film, which didn't make quite as much money. And you know what?
$3.5 million.
I can see why. I've seen the movie. It's not one of Lee's best. Miracle at St. Anna. Knights and Rodanthe, starring Richard Gere, Diane Lane, and James Franco.
And a pterodactyl, right? Is that what you said?
Knights and the Bridges of Madison County.
You know, I've heard great things from the women who've seen it. I don't know any guys who've seen it yet, so I need it. You know what, though? I'm planning on seeing it next weekend with my mother, so I'll report back with a full report of that film. So
there you go.
Somebody has to see it. And limited release, Choke, starring Sam Rockwell. Did that make the top 10?
Number 14, $1.3
million. Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, that was the one that got kind of trashed, yeah.
And the one that made a lot of money, surprisingly, the number four movie in America, Kirk Cameron, is Fireproof.
Yeah. It looks like they made it for like $5,000 or something. I don't know. That can't be right.
You know, I've seen the movie, and congratulations to all involved, but man, it's not a great movie.
By any stretch of the imagination?
No, it really isn't.
Fair enough. Yeah. And Lakeview Terrace still came in number 7, so yeah. It's 7 million at number 3. I mean,
that's a bit of a drop, though, from 1 to number 7.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
What's Batman at?
Is
it 230?
I mean, look it up. It's dropped out of the top 10 by a good bit.
Oh, okay. It's actually out of the top 10. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Where is it? No, really, where is it?
5,000 years later.
Number 13. Of the top
13, okay.
Like 1.6 million. So it's at 524.
So it'd just be Choke.
Yeah, it's one spot above Choke.
Okay.
So yeah. All right, what's hitting DVD this coming Tuesday?
This Tuesday, you've got Iron Man, the 1 and 2 disc special edition, or the Target mask disc.
Or you can buy it at Best Buy and get like a little tiny Iron Man mask bust thing.
Maybe I'll
get And it comes with a $50 gift card to SideshowToys.com.
Wow.
Ooh, maybe I'll get that one.
That sounds pretty good.
I have to get
good.
The mask. I have to.
My
Unless
favorite
Ethan really wants to buy us the copy of the Steelbook and let us reimburse him.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Very nice. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, my favorite comedy of the year so far. 1 and 3 disc unrated collector's edition.
Wow. 2 disc plus digital coaster. Sorry.
You call him like
no,
you see
it.
Beauty and the Beast, the complete series. Great Ron Perlman, Linda Hamilton. Great series from the 80s. A lot edgier and a lot more imaginative than most people remember. Very good show. Bigger, stronger, faster. Grr! I think that's a documentary.
It's the Steve Austin autobiography. No, yeah, it's the documentary about weightlifting and steroid abusers.
There we go. And then Banachek, the complete series. What is that again? I keep
it's
forgetting.
George Peppard.
Thank you, George.
Hannibal from the A-Team. His private eye show. That was our crap title of the week, and we've got one for next week, too.
Oh, boy, do we ever. Okay.
Okay.
Did you want to talk about Eagle Eye at all? Since you're
yeah,
the only
sure.
one that's...
I guess.
Ethan put up his review. Did you guys read that?
No, not yet. I haven't yet.
I'll make it non-spoiler.
I know he didn't like it, though.
No, he's not so much.
No. I think most people are being honest about this. I mean, you know, I think as an actor, I think Shia LaBeouf is a great movie star. He really, the camera loves him. He has something. I've yet to see him give a performance I think is genuinely great. In this movie, he just shouts and runs the whole movie, really.
Does he do that at least once?
Yes, he does it like 7 times. they could add on to that YouTube clip.
I love that YouTube clip. I saw it on Friday. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I wonder how much of his dialogue he just discards. He's like, no. I'll just say no. the movie manages to waste Billy Bob Thornton and Rosario Dawson. I won't give
That's
away.
That's a crime.
It is. It's a total crime. And I won't give away the plot. I won't give away what the thing is, what the big twist is, but I will say the movie is a lot like Enemy of the State crossed with Stealth, and I don't mean that as a compliment. It's so ridiculous, so silly.
Ouch.
There is a scene in the movie where a guy gets electrocuted. It is so preposterous and so stupid. This movie, I can't wait for South Park to rip this movie a new one, because South Park, if they could have a field day with this movie, because it's so ridiculous. Honestly, Transformers is like gritty realism compared to this movie. This is one of the worst movies Steven Spielberg has ever put his name attached to. And yes, I've seen Batteries Not Included, but this is worse.
Batteries Not Included at least had like a charm to it.
It did. And compared to this movie, a gritty realism. Because this movie gives science fiction a bad name, and it's really, really bad. Really bad.
Ethan's review was, if you can completely shut your brain off at the door, you could have some fun.
And it's not fair. I mean, you know, suspension of disbelief is one thing, but this movie just doesn't even play fair. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Like
this
movie National Treasure levels of unbelievable?
No, National Treasure is like gritty realism versus Eagle Eye. Seriously, I was kind of dumbstruck. After a while, it's like, man, other than the laws of gravity, there are no other laws that this movie can possibly continue to violate, but it continues to surprise me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right then.
Yeah. Awful, Yikes. Awful movie. And Miracle at St. Anna is such a mixed bag. It's way too freaking long. There's great scenes. There are powerful scenes in it. But I can't say it's worth sitting 160 minutes to get to them. And another movie with a great cast wasted. John Turturro, John Leguizamo. What's her name?
Really?
Kerry Washington. Like great actors completely wasted in bit parts. There's 5 different subplots and stories going on. 2 of them are really good. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. As a war movie, it's not great. As a mystery, it's really not great. Really disappointing. Not Spike Lee's worst movie, but definitely a real step down for him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm leaving my alternate title out.
Yes. Let's move on.
All right, let's talk some news. I'll let Josh go first.
The new W trailer came out, which I'm sure
yes!
Ethan was doing backflips for. it actually looks funny. It looks funny. So
I'm the decider. I can't wait to see it.
Have you seen it yet, Dave? No.
I think I did. Yeah, I was like,
it's the
wow.
one with the
like
talking head song.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Just in case you guys didn't get enough of this franchise, bringing on 5 was greenlit.
Because we only cover the important news on this show.
Because they're competing with the Fast and the Furious for longest running pointless series, or
well, you know, these are all straight to DVD now, so At least you won't see them in theaters.
Do we know the title of the fifth one?
No, probably. Bring It On.
Again.
Once again. Or I'm, once I don't
more.
Know.
Bring it on one more time with feeling.
It has been brung yet again.
Okay.
Maybe it'll just be Bring It. There, or brung. Take a step back.
Or brung. Just brung.
Bring It Harder. Sorry.
That's what she said.
Oh. I was going the Die Hard route, but okay. I kind of walked into that. Okay. From one what the kind of thing to another, why is Russell Crowe being cast as both the Sheriff of Nottingham and Robin Hood? Is this becoming the clumps? Is that where Russell Crowe wants his career to go?
Is it like Memento, where like he forgets who he is and he kind of goes back and forth?
It's actually like Christian Slater.
I'm Robin Hood. I'm Sheriff of Nottingham.
It's actually like Christian Slater in that new show, My Own Worst Enemy.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, same guy, and Marion's just really confused.
Who would have thought that?
And
like,
so's Little John. He's like, what, dude? Seriously, make up your mind.
It just sounds like we're gonna, like, years from now, we're gonna be saying, you know, that Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, that really was one of the better Robin Hood movies. Who would have thought we'd still hold on to that as like canon?
I still think Men in Tights has a better chance.
Oh, really? I'm still Errol Flynn all the way.
Who's directing this?
Ridley Scott.
It is Scott.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, great, Scott. What is happening?
Yes. All right. Have you got all anything, Barry?
Yeah. The Notorious trailer came out, and I am happy. It looks great. The Life of Biggie Smalls, starring among a big cast, some unknowns, and also Angela Bassett and Derek Luke. Oh, looks so sweet.
Actually does look pretty good.
Big cast? Because, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
My bad.
Well, he looks uncannily like him.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Looks great.
They're turning American Psycho into a musical.
And that one, I...
For what it's worth, like, the movie has so many great 80s songs in it that they could do it. Like, I would love to see him singing,
to be square
as he's killing the guy with the axe.
Is that kind of like Malcolm McDowell in the Clockwork Orange scene, right? Singing in the rain?
Yeah, but it's funny. because American Psycho is a parody, so, or a satire. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, if it's like Evil Dead the Musical, which I did like, I mean, I...
You saw Evil Dead the Musical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's out in New York.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I saw it like 2 years ago, I think.
Oh, tell us, how was it?
It was great. It was great.
Did there have to be like plastic sheets for the first
time? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so much blood. I've never seen so much blood in my life. It was ridiculous. Just like pouring out of... It was awesome. It was awesome. So,
nice.
Yeah. Okay. I'm game. So bring it on.
Brilliant. When is it opening? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Sometime soon. It's like Brokeback Mountain, the opera, like both competing for audiences.
But, I mean, don't you think with all the 80s music in it, like it could be really fun?
Well, I know like they're going to do that with Valley Girl, but as a movie, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I think it's a cool idea. It's such a ridiculous idea, too.
Yeah,
it
is.
And Patrick Bateman, like singing. I don't know. We'll see.
As long as it's Nathan Lane. Sorry.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great choice, actually. I'd go see that.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So the art has come out for the Blu-ray limited edition Dark Knight set that has a little model of the Batpod. I don't know that I'd pay the money for it, honestly.
How much is it?
I have no idea.
$5,000.
I'd guess probably at least 60.
Mm. 60, oh yeah, then bucks. I'm not gonna do that.
Well, the Blu-ray by itself is already gonna bump the price up.
Yeah,
and then it's quote unquote limited edition. So,
don't you think by the time they get around to making a third one, the first two will have a special box set and it'll be, you know, have even twice the extra features,
the Bat Tank and the Bat Pod.
It'll be like a 4-disc special edition.
There you go. I don't know.
I don't know.
Wow. Oh, and then there's gonna be a Joker and a Dark Knight edition of the regular Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And have you seen the back cover?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Like the with the Joker of viral marketing, how he screwed up all the websites, the Joker version of the Batman DVD does the same thing on the back with all the special features and stuff.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Very cool.
Very nice.
Is that all you... Did you have anything else,
Yeah, Barry? I want to talk about the passing of Paul Newman.
Yes.
I don't want to spend too much time because it's a very sad subject. I'll show you guys this. This is one of my most prized possessions. Theater actress and theater historian by the name of Sue McConaughey gave me this as a present. It's one of my most prized possessions. Take a look. Yeah,
very cool.
Yeah, Paul Newman's autograph. You know, this guy, as a movie star and as an actor, he's fantastic, but as a human being, I've always had a real soft spot for him. And you would know that just looking at my kitchen. It's full of Newman's own stuff everywhere. And by the way, best chocolate chip cookies on the market, I think, and the popcorn's also awesome, too. Yeah, he has this camp that he established called a Hole in the Wall Gang Camp, named after the characters in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It is a camp for kids suffering from AIDS, cancer, or serious blood clot, or serious illness of any kind. You have to go through just a little, you basically just fill out this form telling about your situation, and these kids get in completely and utterly free of charge. They have this amazing experience. The food is great. There is health care on site in case any of the kids start to relapse at all. And these kids have like this extraordinary, fantastic experience rather than, you know, going through this terribly, you know, terrible, awful, lonely experience. And he's been doing that for years, and there's that. Then there's Newman's Own, this company that he started as a joke in 1982 because all of his friends for Christmas were like giving away, you know, wine and fruitcakes and all this crap. And he's like, well, how about I just give away my famous salad dressing? So he as a joke, he gives it to all his friends. Next thing you know, everybody wants their own Newman's Own salad dressing. So as a joke, he started this company. But he's like, you know, well, I'm an actor. I can't possibly keep the proceeds of this. So every year after taxes, he gives away 100% of his proceeds. He's given everything to the Katrina victims, to the war in Kosovo, like everything. This guy is such a philanthropist, such a extraordinary human being on top of his performances, and everything from Butch and Sundance to The Verdict, my favorite, Nobody's Fool. Yeah, so I wrote, of course, the article on the site. And yeah, just as I said in the site, I mean, yeah, great actor, but a real extraordinary human being. And to say the very least, he will be missed.
Absolutely.
Bill Murray is a little excited for Ghostbusters 3. I don't know if that...
He's cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. So, that's good.
That's the news.
I guess.
That he's kind of happy about it.
You know, if they're going to do it, they need to have them all back. So, I don't know.
So, this is the project in which the writers from the office are doing.
Yeah. Okay. And he even confirmed that. He goes, I know that the office writers are working on it or something. So...
Hmm.
I don't know. And then Barry handed me this. It's the...
And I've been drooling over it ever since I... Yeah.
We should all go together. I wish it was in Denver though. The Esquire Theater up in Denver in Colorado. If you guys live up there, they're doing Friday and Saturday midnight showings. And you so far
really good stuff.
Yeah, so far you've missed Midnight Meat Train, Starship Troopers, and Raiders. But
that's okay.
The 3rd and 4th is Back to the Future. October 10th and 11th is Ghostbusters. October 17th and 18th is Dead Alive, which yes. I've never seen.
Oh.
Whoa, how fun would that be to see for the crowd?
With
the midnight intoxicated.
At the end, with the lawnmower.
Oh, yeah. So the least.
We may have to do this anyway, one. Keep going. Maybe okay. A road trip.
October 24th and 5th, I can't be there because I'll be seeing Saw, is The Labyrinth. And October 31st and November 1st is Nightmare on Elm Street. So
the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's good for Halloween. Seen. That makes sense.
Never seen on the big screen.
Me either.
Dead Alive on the big screen. Oh.
With a brand new 35mm print.
Really?
These screenings are a lot of fun. I saw the first time I ever saw Donnie Darko was at one of these screenings, and you can't find a better audience, a better place to go to a midnight movie. It's a lot of fun. Good neighborhood, too.
So, yeah, once again, it's at the Esquire Theater up in Denver. And if you want to go, you should write so... And we can all meet up or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Is that what we got for news? Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
All right. I got two things left. So did you all read about the Disney celebration of We Are So Great?
No.
No.
What they do now?
Apparently, they rented out the Kodak Theater in L.A. and did a giant, you know, hey, this is everything we're doing that's coming up. And they had, you know, Hannah Montana and... blah blah blah.
Pirates 3 or 4, right?
You want to do Pirates 4, and everyone cheered because you know they want to keep their jobs. So sure, let's do it.
It's for the employees, this big thing,
as well as press.
Okay,
yes, and they showed the Tron trailer footage again from Comic Con and said they are officially doing Tron 2.
Great.
Although I hope they make it Tron 2 and not TR2N because it's kind of ghetto.
Trune. I don't know how to pronounce that sound.
Exactly. And then it's not like T2. This is like, because T2's already been taken. But then apparently it came out that Johnny Depp is going to be playing Tonto in The Lone Ranger.
And
possibly the name that's being bandied about is George Clooney as the Lone Ranger himself. The Masked Man.
Well, the other news I read, though, was Johnny Depp was going to play
Mad Hatter.
Mad Hatter.
Oh, Mad Hatter and Alice
in Tim Burton's film? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because someone had to.
Yeah.
Well, I guess. Okay.
I don't know. You know, Depp, you know, as you pointed out, Dave, I mean, he has the ethnic credentials, and he did play a Native American in the movie he directed, The Brave. But,
which I still haven't seen yet. I've got it, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's very good. This just sounds so silly to me. It's it's so high concept. It's silly. I don't know.
I just want to hear him say Kemosabe. You picture that and it makes you think, okay, is this movie really going to work?
Oh. It's not that they're bad actors. It's just, you know, The Lone Ranger, is it relevant at all in any way, shape, or form at all now in 2008 or 2010, whenever this comes out? I you know, The Green Hornet, I could see them messing with that. But today, the Lone Ranger.
No offense against George, but isn't he a little old to be playing Lone Ranger?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of horseback stuff and...
I mean, they even acknowledge that.
Apparently, Rose McDowell's going to voice Trigger, and I'm kidding.
No, but it's like Tarzan. It's like, unless you're going to do it as an animated movie, doing it now, straight face, I can't see it.
I can understand that, absolutely. I don't know. And then finally, the new Benjamin Button trailer came out, and it has me excited to see the movie.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
I know the word's been mixed. The first trailer was a little eh, but I'm seeing the things that I want to see. Not that I'm like pretending that they're there, but... seeing Brad Pitt in the old man makeup acting young, and then as he gets younger, yet still acting older, that's going to be a huge emotional linchpin for this movie to be a success. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's working. Yeah. So I can't wait to see it personally. They said Zodiac was too long, and I wanted more. So
mm-hmm. Likewise.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Guess that's about it for news. So we will come back and talk about the origin of Screen Geeks.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
Ah!
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
A slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
And we're back. Instead of Barry doing the we're back in intro, this week we're talking about the origin of Screen Geeks. And since I have to start the story, I figured I might as well just bring it back myself. I guess.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. Set the scene.
Bring the SNL goodness back. I guess I should start off when Barry and I first met.
Mm.
Our wives worked together.
Indeed. And they hooked us up at this diner, which is the same diner
yes.
in Fast Food Nation where Bruce Willis and Greg Kinnear meet in the movie. It was didn't go quite the way it does in the movie, but yeah, it was the same diner.
Yeah.
And I was like, you like movies, I like movies. And we found that we had a lot in common very quickly.
Yeah. What did we talk about? Battle Royale? Is that what sparked
Battle Royale, Star City. Trek specifically.
And Sin City.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you have any trepidation? You're like, my wife's taking me to meet someone else.
Oh, he likes movies. I'm sure you did just like I did.
Oh, yeah.
Just like who? Yeah.
It's like being a football fanatic. And here's the reason why I say this. This happened, I heard this like 2 days before we went to lunch. It was like, you know, this guy who does sports talk radio, he loves football. You know, he's going to meet this other couple, and oh, he likes football too. And he's like, oh, the Broncos are in Denver, right? And it was you have this fear that that's going to happen. You
right.
know? What's your favorite movie? And you're going to say, you know, Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
Like, oh. But, you know, we hit it off.
No, very quickly, yeah.
In a big way. At the time, I was working nights at my main job and had gotten into listening to a lot of podcasts. Mostly it was a poker podcast called Card Club on Lord Admiral Radio, which is still good to this day, even if you listen to this stuff from like 3 years ago. Cool. The guys over at Geeks On, they were like my big influence. And then Will Wheaton, people wonder why I have such a big love for the guy. He did some stuff on his own. He's like, this is so easy to do. It kind of spurred me into wanting to do it. And Screen Geeks was born, and I did the first episode with my buddy Alex that's never going to see the light of day because it was so awful.
The lost episode.
I think I have it somewhere. It's just never seen the light of day. I think it was our guilty pleasures or something like that.
Oh.
We did it at my desk during work hours.
Nice.
A little PC microphone.
So corporate funded.
Yes.
Screen Geeks.
Yes. Well, this is when I was working 4 to midnight.
Ooh,
and
man.
Nothing happens after like 5 p.m. So ooh. I'd found the end of the internet and got into podcasting.
Very nice.
And then had some friends who were from Wells mostly, the bank that I worked at, oh, well, I just named him Such Is Life. Oh, well. And we did our episode about Song of the South and stuff, and I really wanted to get Barry in on it. And finally asked, and we started doing a couple shows here and there.
Yeah.
And right about that time, we went and saw Superman Returns for the 10 p.m. showing that night before, you know, go see it opening night. And there were these guys there who were giving away posters. And lo and behold, one of them was Josh.
Yep.
Yes.
Was that your first event?
I think it was. I know that we camped out for X-Men 3.
Yeah. Okay.
But didn't have anything to give away. We made like custom shirts. We went to Walmart and printed them out.
And this is also with Alex Bellington from FirstShowing.net.
We got together and did that. And Superman was the first one that we got stuff from the theater to hand out.
Which is cool. We're like, hey, these guys, they're just randomly like giving stuff away. This is freaking awesome. I think it was like a poster and something else.
Yeah, I think they gave us like tickets.
That's like right.
Coupons or whatever.
And they had a tent out front. That really impressed me. Like, really? You guys are sleeping outside?
Man. My dad owns a furniture store, and he actually gave us furniture to use. So we had like a couch and a TV and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, pimped out.
It was very, very hip, I must say.
It was very cool. And so I got in contact with Alex, and we got to talking, and we ended up coming over and interviewing you guys when you're camped out for Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
Yeah.
Do you remember what I asked you guys, the last question I asked you?
What would we bring with us?
No. Is this a good way to meet girls?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like I said, yes. Actually, weird thing, I did get a date off that night at Pirates. No, I swear to God, like after the midnight, somebody wanted a poster, and it was this really cute girl, and I was like, I'll only give it to you if you can go on a date with me. it worked. So there you go.
And that worked out really well, too.
Didn't see your sense.
Okay, fair enough. But still, the point stands.
Yeah.
And so we kind of saw each other back and forth off and on. We were still doing Screen Geeks, cruising along, doing our own thing. We did a Blu-ray HD DVD shootout. I set up with a place to go down, and you guys came over and were guests on the show then. Running off of two microphones from Best Buy that gave this really awful sound if you moved them at all. Mm. I think if you go back and listen to the episode, you can still hear this.
And it's that's because there was like 10 of us. And we were like
trying to share two mics. Yeah, it was awesome. And then at the Scanner Darkly screening, we ended up joining up.
Yep.
You guys approached
Synergy.
Yes. And it's at a Scanner Darkly. I mean, dude, come on.
Oh. I know. I'd seen it before in Denver. We went to a screening of it, and I fell asleep. So
I just remember the theater smelled like feet.
Oh, God.
That theater just does.
The theater just, it smells better now.
Does it?
Does it?
Ever since I got it taken over.
Now like foot powder. It smells much better.
Okay. Now that they sold out to the man?
Yes, unfortunately.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, different ownership, a little broader with the releases, but otherwise, still good.
Yeah.
It's where Choke is playing. It's the only place Choke is playing in the Springs.
So, there you go. Yeah. And we spent the better part of the next year working at FirstShowing.net. We're doing the Hypecast.
Yeah.
We got to interview some very cool people.
Yes. So those shows are still very good, I think.
The Andy Dick interview, still
priceless. I remember Alex sending me that and being like, oh, my God, this is the funniest thing ever. And then he sent it to me, and I was like, this is freaking awesome. This is awesome. The fact that like he got it up and took went to the bathroom in the middle of the interview.
Are you getting this on the mic?
Yes,
we are.
It was a real trial by fire, first interview.
Were you guys laughing during
it? When he was singing the song, I muted the mics because we were laughing so hard. I had to.
I think the most disappointing thing about the interview, though, is at the end of it, I don't think this was posted in the interview, but he asked you guys if like you guys want to hang out if you ever come to LA.
That's right. He's like, hey, you want me to give him your phone number? Give you my phone number? Because if you ever want, you know, I can help out. And I got to thinking what people would probably do with that phone number, and I started chuckling. He's like, no, forget it. We're not.
And I was like, dang it. Because I think Alex and I were going out to LA like the next week, and I was like, oh my God, I want to go have dinner with Andy Dick.
Yeah. That was an interesting time.
It was.
I also got the opportunity to fly out to L.A. and see The Fountain and sit in on round tables with, you know, Darren Aronofsky and Rachel Weisz and Hugh Jackman, and as well as For Your Consideration. I mean, you get to sit in on interviews with Christopher Guest. Come on. So, and then, let's see, who did you have? We did, Mr. Weber.
That's right. Peter Weber, director of Hannibal Rising. That was a lot of fun. That was a phone interview.
It was a great interview.
Yeah, smart guy.
I'll still see
him. Shame about the movie, but yeah, really cool guy.
Did you guys do Dax Shepard? Were you guys the ones
that? Alex did that.
No, okay.
He did that one by himself.
That was the week we were really pimping Employee of the Month.
Yeah.
It's like, this is going to be huge, this movie.
The lessons you learn. I got to talk to one of my heroes, Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Even though I felt like a complete idiot during that interview. I mean, you know,
How can you not? You're talking to your hero. That's awesome.
I'm like, oh, except I had like 16 questions and they were 3-word answers. So I cruised through the entire list of questions in like 7 minutes. Crap. So, but still, good times. I'm fiercely proud of the work that we did over at FirstShowing.net.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Still holds up.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to pretend that it was an amiable split. But
I will.
No. But here's the thing.
Due to creative differences.
And it was creative differences. And I'm not going to, we're not going to talk smack about First Showing. It wasn't the best split, but that's all you're ever going to hear. So that's all we'll admit. Yeah.
Yep. But, and then I came over.
Yes. Josh was one of the co-founders of First Showing and ended up coming over with us. And you've been stuck with us doing this thing ever since.
Yay.
I'd 50 talk about,
episodes in.
I think my pinnacle, First Showing moment was St. Grindhouse with the whole cast and crew.
Yeah.
It's like something that's never going to ever be that good ever again.
Yeah, yeah. And now, you know, we're kind of starting over from scratch in many ways, but, you know, we've done our Starfest interviews and we're getting other stuff going.
Let me mention really quickly, because, yeah, I also had my pinnacle for working at First Showing was certainly Comic-Con, those interviews. When we were in the interview room and we're sitting down at this round table and the guy goes, okay, now introducing the cast of Resident Evil Extinction. And Mila Jovovich is like sitting right there next to me. And then
Allie Larder.
And I had a chance to speak with her and with Allie Larder. Yeah, that was really cool.
And Paul, what's Grip Anderson?
And I remember him in the interview. I remember him saying as soon as they turned off the mics, like, you know what, I'm doing Death Race next. It's going to be so great. And my heart just kind of sunk. Like, really? You're doing Death Race 2000? Oh, gosh.
I guess, like, after the Grindhouse thing, when we did the roundtables, it was like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Jordan Ladd, and Marley Shelton, like, my all as one thing. I was just, like, drooling.
Wow.
Do you have a bib?
Yeah.
You're the most beautiful woman alive. That's incredible.
Yep.
Man.
At the same time, you know, we also did a little bit of work at Starfest for Geek Label at the time, Geek Radio Daily.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, I hate to say it, Starfest has been almost as big of a plus for me, getting to interview, you know, Gil Gerard. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And the interview that we had with Kate Vernon is probably the best interview I think any of us have been involved with.
That was a lot of fun. She was so cool.
I think it was the most interesting and
yeah, and I got to use it in my class because she name drops Spike Lee and tells us what she really thought of Spike Lee. And man, that was
what I loved.
That was instrumental in my class.
What I loved was maybe I should grab those from Geek Label and post them back up at Screen Geeks because I know Geek Label is going to be going away at the end of the year. I think possibly the forums are. Hmm. But when you asked, well, I'm doing this class about Spike Lee. What was it like working with him? You hear this. And we both went, oh, crap.
Crap. The interview was going so well.
It was going good. And then, oh, boy. And then it was just so
it's like good. Telling her dog died. It was like, that's how it was. The mood in the room changed so much.
Talking Battlestar Galactica and this great character and then Spike Lee. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. But then she gave us a very honest and very lucid answer, and it was great.
Yeah. Absolutely
good stuff. She was a real sweetheart.
You just wait until Comic-Con next year, because I did find about the press passes and stuff, and we're going.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Are you submitting stuff already?
No, the deadline's not up yet. Okay. Like, they haven't started yet. But okay, as soon as they do.
The show. Yep. We'll talk to the show. Oh, they haven't said even when you can start?
No.
Okay.
So.
Okay. But. As soon as they can, we'll get everything lined up. And, yeah, we're going to Comic-Con. We're going to Starfest. I think I was talking about trying to go to Dragon Con, but if we're doing Comic Con, there's no way.
What is Dragon Con? That's fantasy?
It's based off of Anne McCaffrey's Dragon books, the Books of Pern.
Okay.
But it's turned into like Geek Fest. I mean, their guest list is literally about 20 or 30 pages long.
Okay.
They had people from every TV show you could possibly imagine, sci-fi or fantasy, movie stars, all kinds of people, all kinds of panels. I mean, it's a 3-day Geek Fest. It rivals Comic Con.
Cool. So it's like WonderCon.
Indeed. It's like the size of Comic-Con without being so promotional marketing.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. It's a lot more about the geeks and the fans.
I think next year, too, since at least like Barry and I have been there I've heard at least once.
Between you talking about it, between Chris Stipp talking about it, I'm like, we're planning everything we're doing.
You
even
have
Starfest.
To. Yeah.
I was like, we didn't plan well enough. But Starfest is nothing compared to Comic-Con.
There's going
to
be, and if Ethan comes with us, we're going to be able to hit a lot of targets.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe Ethan's coming with us as well. It should be a good time. Good. Maybe I'll set up an Amazon link so people can buy the DVDs we're talking about and may help us pay for our way to Comic-Con. wow, that was like a 11-minute topic for the week.
Hey,
the are history, there any topics?
The history of Screen Geeks is still growing.
Do we want to talk about like how we got into movies or
what? Absolutely, you guys yeah. Well, let's start with Barry. Where did your love of movies come from?
My parents.
This is kind of like about us and our who we are as well.
Okay, well, it was my parents. My mom was a Japanese movie star back in the 1950s. If you ever go to Japan and you turn on the TV at about 3 in the morning, you might see my mother, the American princess, tied to a railroad track while this guy, who's clearly not Christopher Reeve or even George Reeves, but is wearing the suit with a Japanese symbol on it, flies, quote-unquote, and to save her. She also did one where she was tied to a chair with a bomb in her lap, and this Japanese Superman clone jumps in and saves her, and she thanks him in Japanese. My mother did that for a while. And my father was a parodist when he was in college. He did all these plays that were parodying other TV shows and movies, and they were both just so into the arts, and ever since I was a kid, they just really, really instilled a love of movies and the art and all that was artistic. Grew up in New Jersey for the first 10 years of my life, so we used to go to New York Broadway, see plays all the time. I mean, you know, crappy stuff like Cats, you know, silly stuff, but I did get to see like the original Little Shop of Horrors off Broadway, saw the Mikado, like really incredible Broadway, great theater like you. Like I've also seen Bernadette Peters like you have on stage, which is just phenomenal. So growing up like that, I just had a real love of film and theater and the arts in general my whole entire life. When I wasn't watching movies, I was going to a bookstore and reading voraciously. And the oldest memory I have, I'll end it this way, the oldest memory I have is seeing Star Wars on the big screen. I remember sitting in my father's lap, looking up and watching R2-D2 getting blasted by the Jawas. And even at a young age, I remember thinking, I really want to be a part of this, whatever the heck this is, because this is really something magical.
Very cool. Josh?
I was born a poor black child. just kidding.
I'm going to stay this color. Sorry. We mentioned the jerk earlier.
I had a lot of jerk
references this episode.
No kidding.
I don't know if I remember my my earliest memory, but I always grew up with a camcorder in my hand.
Nice.
And would do stuff with my toys. Just make little home movies and stuff. And then in high school, I really got into production and did a sketch comedy show that we competed in the National Student Emmys for. Didn't win. I'm going to college and doing film studies and production stuff. So
awesome.
Very cool.
Yep.
As if I haven't name dropped enough, my uncle does special effects in Hollywood. But interestingly enough,
what's his name?
His name is Bruce Minkus.
Yeah,
he's done many a big
look him up on
fest.
IMDb, folks.
He doesn't do like the digital effects. He does the blowing crap up effects. So he's done
so much cooler.
Yeah, he's done some really cool stuff. You know, Terminator 2, The Abyss, Steel. Yeah.
Hey, that's. You
Fast
know,
and the Furious.
That's still Steel. That's so yeah. Cool that he did that.
But the interesting thing is that's not really where my love of movies got started. It was really from my grandfather on my dad's side. He was a huge movie buff. He had so many VHSs. He'd always watch movies. He was a big movie musical guy. But every time I'd go over, I'd watch some kind of new movie. You know, the adults would be off playing cards or something, and they'd pop a movie in and sit me down in front of it, and I'm good to go for a while. And then talking to my uncle, I used to always bug him if he'd heard anything about the new Star Wars. And this is like 20 years ago. He's like, I'd heard something. God. You know, little did I know he'd worked on Last of the Mohicans and all these, you know, really good films. You know, what's the one where they found Final Countdown?
Yeah.
He was one of the guys who was in the Japanese planes shooting smoke out the back while it was flying through the air. You know, very cool stuff like that. But we ended up moving to Colorado and, you know, kind of lost that movie. Whatever.
Lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Colorado does not scream movies exactly.
Not so much. No, but, you know, I met with some friends in high school who were kind of into movies, and, you know, they made like a Star Trek, you know, with the fighting the Gorn, Kirk fighting the Gorn, and Kirk reaches over and grabs some Mentos, you know, bring the sci-fi geeky stuff in. And, you know, one of them is now an ad exec, an ad guy out in LA. Another one's written a couple screenplays. Met up with friends just through my life who have all been really into movies big time. I really didn't get into it much until after high school. So I kind of got a late start. You know, I'd buy a bunch of VHS tapes, you know, and Joe versus the Volcano, you know, that was the kind of stuff I'd get. And I hooked up my VCR to my stereo, you know, ooh, this is cool. And now I've got good stuff. But yeah, it's just kind of funny. You start learning about the makings and the inner workings of movies. And I've always loved watching, you know, they did the Making of Star Wars special when they aired it on TV, when they did it with the VHS.
Yeah.
I could not watch that enough. You know, I loved that stuff. So, and then it's just kind of grown from there. And really my classic film appreciation hasn't really grown that much since until like the last 5 years.
Mm. I'm going to do a little plug for myself. If you want to see my sketch comedy show, it's actually on my MySpace, I think. It's called It's called Kentucky. It's not, it's really bad. But it's called Kentucky Fried Kata. It's after Kentucky Fried Movie. And the Kata was our mascot.
Oh, because you're in the Air Force Academy.
Yeah. So, and then I've also got some of my video interviews that I did for showing on there.
Cool.
And I think I still have that trailer that I made. We should put that on the site.
Yeah.
My zombie car. Oh, yeah. I'll bring it over.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to rip it into QuickTime and we'll post it on the site.
Okay.
Seriously.
Cool beans.
You absolutely will.
Nice. Oh, well, God. Josh, and I was going to mention Marty really quick because my brother Marty, like, you know, kind of like yourself, as soon as we could walk, we were running around with a camcorder making movies and making parodies and just like going in our backyard with army fatigue and pretending to shoot each other. And then over time, Marty started to film everything and make all these short films. He's got just this countless array of short movies and a lot of them are really great.
I love scotching. I'm just saying.
Yeah. There's that. And of course, the film he's making, Salivate. And there's one we did called Taken, which we're both very fond of. And he actually filmed a movie for me that helped me get a great grade in my English class when I was in high school, when I was a sophomore. We did this film called The House Guest, and it was me playing these three characters who knock on this woman's door to repair her oven. I play the first guy, the second guy, and the third guy comes in. Basically, the gist is that I blow up the house, I destroy this woman's house. Yeah, it went great, and Marty filmed it. And ended up getting like an A in the class because of this. So, but cool. but I wanted to mention that because you mentioned that too. Because same thing, Josh. Like ever since you were a kid, making movies.
Yeah, and Marty's great. I'd say he's a terrific filmmaker. Yeah.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be hearing about him in a few years.
Oh yeah, and you know I forgot to say my folks also really encouraged me. They weren't big movie geeks, you know, at all. They still aren't. But when there was something good, they'd made sure I'd watch it, like The Elephant Man when it was on TV.
Wow, that's excellent.
They introduced me to The Devil and Daniel Webster when I was like 8 years old.
Cool.
And I've loved that
movie. They've got good taste. That's great.
Yeah, so, you know, that was fun too. So we've all kind of started from a young age.
What's the first movie each of you? Me, Star Wars. What's your first?
Star Wars.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember. I was told that it was Oliver and Company.
Hmm.
Why should I worry?
No, that's good. I think I remember seeing Gremlins. No, that was before my time. Just kidding. I remember being terrified on VHS when I saw it.
So old. Well, Gremlins 2 is 1990.
Maybe it was that one.
Because Gremlins 1 is 84, but Gremlins 2 is 1990, so.
I remember seeing Waterworld in theaters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember. But I remember my parents, we'd always go to Universal Studios. We'd go like once every 2 or 3 years.
Oh, that's so cool.
That for me, I was like, oh, it's my holy land.
Have you seen the Waterworld stunt show?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's cool. Is that gone now?
I don't know.
Oh, because I actually saw it. Because I remember I saw it when they did Waterworld. And then before that, it was Miami Vice.
Yeah, that's the last one. That's the last time I was there. And that's the last thing I saw. So I haven't seen Waterworld.
Now I think it's just the stunt spectacular show. I think it's just some.
It's regular, like Waterworld's too old. That sucks.
So, and they've also got Fear Factor now, too. It was actually pretty cool. They pick random people out of the audience to come do these things.
They eat like worms and crap.
Yeah, they do something like that where they have to eat this disgusting stuff, but now they also do like a lot of stunt work and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
I just remember the Miami Vice stunt show at Universal LA.
I remember that too. It was cool. Cracking tubs and the little boat.
Oh, it was cool. Oh man, there's stuff blowing up all over the place. Yeah. It was sweet. So, yeah. All right. We're like going into our complete geek background.
Wait, isn't that was what we were supposed to do, right?
Oh, yeah. I was more of a Disney geek growing up than anything else.
Oh, cool.
We lived in L.A. So, I mean, seriously, we'd go to Disneyland 3 or 4 times a year.
Nice.
My dad used to tell me stories about going on the Mark Twain, you know, the big white riverboat.
Yeah.
And standing like 8 feet away from Louis Armstrong while he was playing.
Wow.
Back in the day when they would, you know, bring out all these big stars. Wow. He had season passes, so he'd go out on a Friday night, just go hang out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, oh. So that's why I always loved Disneyland and couldn't care less about Disney World.
So you went to Disney World?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Haven't. I just,
Oh.
Disneyland is awesome because you could do it all in 1 day or 1.5 days. Disney World takes weeks, if not months, to do everything you have. It's just impossible.
It's ridiculous.
But yeah, I grew up for a love of all things Disney. That was probably the first obsession.
What's your favorite Disney film? Do you have one? Well, anime. Let's go with traditional animated Disney film.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Really? Still, Yeah.
Do you have like a tie, like a top two? Or?
Yeah, I'm trying to even think. You know, I'd almost have to say Aladdin.
Hmm.
I love Aladdin.
It's great.
Okay, yeah. Maybe Borscht, that's
great.
What I remember seeing when I was young is all the Disney movies.
Okay, that's 92.
Because so I do remember seeing Lion King.
Let's table this. We'll do a Disney episode at some
okay,
point.
Okay.
Just
what, like the stuff that we love at Disney.
What genre did you grow up with? Like, was there anything
that's right,
in particular?
Yeah, I had more Disney stuff. And
oh, gosh. I mean, E.T. and Return of the Jedi are the two movies I saw more times. Any other, when they were in theater, particularly the summer of 83 and 84, I saw those movies like on a loop. So I'd probably say science fiction. Everything Spielberg and George Lucas, I think I just watched repeatedly over and over again.
So fantasy sci-fi
stuff? I think so, yeah. Yeah, stuff like Explorers, Gremlins, yeah. The works of Joe Dante, essentially. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say probably say horror stuff. Even yeah. When I was little,
even when you were little,
yeah, I always read like R.L. Stein, and I'd stay up late at night when my parents were asleep and watch Tales from the Crypt.
I couldn't handle that stuff till I was older. Really,
oh, I couldn't either. But I mean, that was just like yes,
it's like an endurance test.
So yeah, I'm.
Did you have like a favorite horror movie growing up?
Oh, scary for me was like I said, Gremlins 2, so or Hocus Pocus. So I mean, I wouldn't.
Hocus Pocus is scary. Those witches suck the souls out of those kids.
You know what though?
Like Obahotep or
no, not
sorry,
a different orifice.
Okay.
I couldn't believe I watched. Well, I would watch Tales from Crypto. That stuff was truly horrifying.
It was really gory too.
It was
so
fun though. I mean, it's yeah. I think it's fun now.
Yeah. But that Crypt
Keeper monsters.
Love Monsters. Show. Yeah, Monsters and Tales from the Dark Side, too. My
favorite. Oh, and Are You Afraid of the Dark? I used to watch that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Classic.
Awesome. Did you watch Eerie, Indiana?
Yes, I did watch Eerie, Indiana.
It's very good. Cool. Yeah. So I'll end it with this question.
Well, sorry, we're just rambling.
No.
You've
no,
seen
no.
that? Oh, cool.
Yeah, no.
High five.
So now you're getting a glimpse into our regular, like, whenever we have lunch. This is pretty much the discussion right. We have, the kind of discussion we have. Is there, like, a favorite childhood memory of going to a movie that you have?
Gosh, I have a lot.
I've got like three I can think of at the top of my head, but
you should start talking.
Okay, yeah, you go ahead, Dave. I remember my folks taking me to War Games.
And wow, just man,
loving it.
Cool.
That Princess Bride, we saw it opening night, and I loved that movie too. But like the most fun I had was my mom took me to see Back to the Future 2, and you remember they released them pretty really close to each other.
Yeah.
We actually went into Back to the Future 2 and then snuck into Back to the Future 3.
Oh, cool!
It had a great time.
They were playing at the same theater.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because 2 came out fall of 89, and then it was like summer of 1990, but Back to the Future 2 was still playing in some theaters when Back to the Future 3 was in theaters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I remember going to that theater in Northridge and going to Hudson's Diner beforehand. It was like the first 50s diner in LA that I remember of, so yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you, either of you?
Remember, my dad took me to my first R-rated movie. That was like, you know, my dad taught me how to shave and how to ride a bike. But I think, you know, my father taking me to Die Hard 2 is pretty badass, I got to say.
Wow.
It's no my kidding. First R-rated movie. Yeah. Yeah, that and watching Psycho with my grandmother. The first time I ever saw Psycho Ooh. Was with my grandma. It was pretty sweet because I had never seen it before. I just knew about the shower scene. And my grandma's like, you haven't seen Psycho. Let's watch Psycho. So we sit there and watch it. And no one else is around. It's just the two of us. And, you know, I thought it was really great, but I didn't think it was especially scary. But the whole time, she's like cowering on my shoulder and covering her eyes. I mean, not only was this amazing experience I have with my grandmother watching this movie, but it was like watching it back in 1960. I really understood, like, okay, I understand now why people found it so scary. Because I'm watching it through, like, the eyes of a woman who, you know, saw it also when it first came out.
Yeah.
So.
I just say like the first like big like I want to be involved in movies moment was like the first time that I saw Jurassic Park.
Mm.
It's like holy crap, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Those are dinosaurs.
I was such a nerd at Jurassic Park. Uncle worked on it. He sent me the crew T-shirt that everyone got. I still got it. It's like one that they made specifically for the crew.
Do you have it?
Oh yeah.
Oh, can we see it?
I'll show it to you sometime. Yeah, yeah absolutely.
Oh
yeah, and I remember my
can
dad.
We touch it?
Whoa there, Tonto. Out of Context Theater presents. I remember that same year my dad took me to my first StarCon up in Denver.
Neat.
And people were offering me like $100 for the shirt off my back.
And you like, said no? No.
My grandpa, I gotta tell this real quick story. My grandpa, they're from a small town in Nebraska. They don't see movies ever. But Jurassic Park just opening weekend, and we take him to go see it. And we sit down, and the movie starts, and he leans over and he goes, "Oh, I've already seen this." Like, what? You've already seen this? Like, okay. Yeah, it's funny. He says that a lot.
So that's cool. My Jurassic Park story, really quick, is my mom and I went to see it opening day, but we were late. We get in there. It's like the last seat in the house, the two front row seats. And I understood the meaning of Roger Ebert has in his little movie glossary the term bruised forearm movies. And I understood that after Jurassic Park. I was black and blue for about a week because my mother just like dug her nails. She found that movie to be so terrifying. And you know what? In the front row, it is pretty scary. So,
wow. I still think that. We're just rambling, but I still think that Velociraptor kitchen scene.
Yeah.
I was watching that by myself a couple years ago in my apartment in Boulder, and I was like literally looking behind my back. I was like, if I hear like or something behind me, I'm gonna freak out.
Hey, I bought the DTS edition, so I'm not gonna say anything. All right, let's wrap this up. We should do this once in a while, just kind of talk random background about us, because some people have asked, you know, where did you guys get your love of movies from? And it's a very long story. Here's the short version, which is now, you know, coming up on a half hour long. Yep. So let's talk about what's hitting theaters this week and move on from there.
Well, it's unfortunately not a sequel to The Thin Man. It's, but you know what? It's got Michael Cera and Kat Dennings instead. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist looks good. Piper Perabo and Jamie Lee Curtis clearly need more work. They're beautiful. They're talented. They're wonderful. Why are you guys in Beverly Hills Chihuahua? David Zucker directs Dennis Hopper and Leslie Nielsen in An American Carol. We'll see how that goes. One of the sticking points of the Cannes Film Festival, good reviews and bad reviews. Nobody seems to know what they think about this one. Blindness, starring Julianne Moore, Mark Ruffalo, and Danny Glover. A film that apparently has gotten really good word of mouth. Didn't look that good to me, but hey, what do I know? Flash of Genius, starring Greg Kinnear. Could go either way. Another one I've heard really good things about, even though I thought the trailer was really lame. Simon Pegg and Jeff Bridges in How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. And then finally, in limited release, Bill Maher is Religulous.
So you'll be able to talk about it next week.
I can talk about it next week, yeah. Oh, it kills me. I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we're all going to go see Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Actually, Josh
I did volunteer. I'll
what a bullet, man. That's no, like, I know. It's not even a bullet. That's like a cannon shot.
We didn't even ask. He's like, I'll take the bullet.
Well, you know what? I would far rather see this than an epic movie, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah.
And is it, it's because of Piper, right?
Yeah.
You see because of Piper Perabo.
Sorry, Mary. Take the lead or whatever. What's it called? We always forget the
Make It Happen.
Make It Happen doesn't come out for a while. So
yeah, memorable title, Mary. Yeah, Make It Happen.
All right, let's talk.
Me happen.
Whoa, that's what she said. Okay,
very good.
That was really out of line. So no, it was still funny. So even though the theatrical release is maybe a little lackluster potentially. Really good DVD week next week.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It really is the best and the absolute worst. Let's start from the bottom up. Adam Sandler is the Zohan in You Don't Mess With Zohan 2 and wasn't this special edition, if you can call it that, special edition.
Special edition.
Leaving it alone.
That's insulting to the handicap, though. Yes. And then the worst film I've seen this year, by far, is still M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening. Apparently, it's just a single disc. I don't, yeah. Any extras, do we know?
I don't know. I would listen to a commentary.
So would I.
What the hell were you thinking?
I want like a feature-length apology from the cast. That's what I want.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, can you think of anyone who actually would volunteer for a commentary on this?
Maybe John Leguizamo.
Bust it. Come on. You don't think he'd do it?
No. Has he ever done a commentary?
Oh, I don't know.
He didn't do it for Shooter. He's not going to do it for this.
Yeah, I can't think anyone actually putting their name to it. You know, I'm gonna have to look it up now. Okay, I'm gonna look.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, we're going. All right, on the bright side, Sleeping Beauty, 2-disc platinum special edition, very good.
Oh.
The Sarah Jane Adventures, Doctor Who spinoff, good stuff. Universal Legacy Collection. Thank you, Universal Studios, for releasing this. 2-disc.
Thank you and curse you. Go through the list and we'll get there.
2-disc special editions of Rear Window, Vertigo, and my all-time favorite movie, Psycho. Very nice.
2-disc. I already own all of those. I have to buy them all over again.
Great features.
And even the first versions weren't that bad.
No, but this is even better. And new artwork, and the new artwork is good for a change. Yeah. This is like a DVD dream
come true. Oh, you know, the UK is getting a 2-disc special edition of The Happening.
Wow.
Sorry.
Okay, does it come with like a Save the World t-shirt or anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Does it come with plant food?
Wow.
What a great tie-in that would be.
That's very good, sir, yes.
Okay, thank you, thank you. All right, Touch of Evil, 50th anniversary edition. This is the great Orson Welles thriller with Charlton Heston as a Mexican, also with Janet Leigh and Orson Welles himself playing a really nasty bad guy. The classic opening scene, of course, everybody knows, the great long shot scene. Great thriller, though. And you know what? I'm going to say it. It's better than Citizen Kane. It is.
How do you mean, from a story side or a technical side?
I'd say both. I like it better.
Really?
I do. I really do.
Dang.
Somebody's loading up their mag right now. Click, click.
On the not-so-good level, in fact, at the very bottom of the barrel, I'll say that for the very end, our bad title of the week. Let's move on. Munsters, complete series, the complete series of Fred Gwynn and Yvonne DiCarlo as the Munsters, also with Al Lewis.
It's like $52, which isn't bad for a complete series.
It's not bad. Yeah, fun show. You know what? I still like the Addams Family better, though.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I thought Adam's Family was a little bit smarter. What else we got? Halloween. Rob Zombie's Halloween, the 3-disc unrated collector's edition. This is disappointing.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing because the R-rated cut that was in theaters, I thought was better.
Oh, it's amazing.
It doesn't have those excess scenes that hurt the film. Better ending.
Less Loomis. Sorry, but like all the, it has a lot of him interacting with Michael as a kid more, and that was just.
And you get him talking about a book and the evil and No, I agree.
These eyes of him.
A movie, I guess this has never been on DVD, but I love this movie as a kid, Smurfs and the Magic Flute.
I remember it on home video, on VHS.
Okay. This was actually a hit movie, believe it or not. This actually made big bank in theaters, yeah. Yep. Speed Racer, the complete classics.
Complete classic series.
Oh, the whole series. What that is. The classic series, yes.
In a, like a Mach 5 case.
That's
definitely getting more love than the movie did when it gets released. Because, man, that movie, that was a piffle special edition for a movie that cost like more than the deficit. And then finally, what do we got? The bad title of the week. Feast 2, Sloppy Seconds.
That's such a... Have you read the review of Rating It Cool?
No.
Oh, they said it's just the goriest thing. Like, it's just nasty. It's kind of fun, but...
It sounds like the cafeteria lunch menu. Feast 2, Sloppy Seconds. What a terrible title.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there because I just found the happening special features. There are deleted scenes, apparently, which I don't know if they... with an introduction by Mr. Shyamalan, as well as a featurette, one called The Hard Cut. There's a few making ofs, and then there's a gag reel.
Do you want me to redo that?
Yeah.
I was just saying, like, what's it going to be like? Mark Wahlberg, like, you know, sitting there in the field, and Shyamalan's like, okay, the wind is going to be chasing you. And Mark's like, what, really? And he just starts like, what's chasing me?
I think the gag reel is going to make for a better movie than the movie.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
At least you can laugh along with something.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, awful, awful things.
Wow. That's a lot of extras for a movie that doesn't deserve any, really.
It really doesn't. Thanks. So, yeah. Okay. Shall we wrap this bad boy up?
The happening. Yes.
Yeah. On that little up.
Any note. Mail or anything? Or
no. Nothing really. But, you know, it's okay. If you'd like to shoot us an email, by all means do. You can hit us at podcast. Barry, Josh, Dave, Ethan, at screengeeks.com. You can hit the contact us page for our voicemail line, because I don't have it up right now and I'm being lazy. And we're going to shoot for next week, possibly doing a live streaming episode at 1:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Awesome.
So we'll see what happens. If that works out, we'll be psyched. I've wanted to do this for a while, so I'm hoping it works out. But until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Take it easy.